Hello and welcome back to the Connection Podcast. This is Javier.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are excited this week because we're just about finished with our mission trip to Honduras. We have an amazing team here from Revival Temple. It's been pretty exciting. We've had the last few days here in the country. So today when this podcast is out, we're actually flying home. But we wanted to take a few minutes and talk to just a couple of our friends that came on this trip, a little bit about the projects that we were able to get done, and then also just kind of get some, fun feedback, some stories from the trip.
Yeah.
So I wanted Danielle to introduce our friends, and then we'll kind of just jump right in. We've got some really cool people that are not afraid of anything. They are exciting to be with. They're funny, hilarious, and it's been an amazing week, so.
So we have Kendra Bourgeois and Hannah Covington here with us in this conversation. And Hannah has taken two trips with us now through Connect Global here to this area in Honduras. We are in La Ceiba. Well, at the time of this recording, we're in San Pedro, but we were in La Ceiba. And Kendra, this is her first time with us coming to serve and being a part of one of our teams. But it's been awesome to have both of them on the trip. Actually, the whole team has been amazing. They've been our favorite team ever. And for all the other people who have been on trips with us that listen to this, you can write your congressman.
Yeah.
You should do some self-reflection. Yeah. It's just send emails to none@none.com.
Don't talk to us, just
yeah.
Think about it.
But anyways, honestly, they have been our favorite team by far. It's been so fun. It's been so awesome. Their spirits, their heart, their compassion, their care for the people here, their care in general, but then also their sense of humor. It's just been a blast. And so we wanted to take the opportunity. We're kind of holding them hostage, but we want to take the opportunity to have them share. Yeah, you can't see us because we're not recording this via video, but Hannah is agreeing that, yes, we basically forced them into this. Kindly.
Yeah.
But we want them to have the opportunity to share some of their experiences this week. Sometimes it feels like Javier and I run out of things to talk about because we've been doing this like for so long, this work and this life and even this podcast.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to hear from other people. And so guys, just jump in whenever you want. You guys can take turns, but just share a little bit about why you even came on this trip, kind of your connection with Connect Global from the beginning, like how you even heard about us or got connected to us. What made you want to participate in other trips or this particular trip? And then maybe just share some of the experiences from this week.
Okay. You want me to start from the beginning?
Wherever you want. Yeah, wherever you want.
Okay. This is Hannah speaking, by the way. My first time in Honduras was in 2000 and either 16 or 17. And I came with my husband on a vacation to Roatan. And we toured the island with a local family, and they talked to us a lot about the needs on the mainland. They really, really talked a lot about that. And that moment and that time hearing about all of the needs whenever you're on this beautiful island that is just gorgeous, and everybody, I mean, there is poverty there too, but it's a very popular tourist attraction.
Right.
Hearing about what is right across the water, just you know, an hour ferry ride away, it really put a seed in my soul. And I told my husband that day that I would be coming back to Honduras and it would not be for vacation.
Wow.
So fast forward, I had recently left a church that I had gone to my entire life, and I felt like God was leading me to Revival Temple. In the very first service that I attended at Revival Temple, Pastor Wes was talking about the maternity home here with Connect Global in La Ceiba. And at that moment, I felt like God was confirming to me the moves I had made, the moves that were extremely difficult to make. I felt like he was basically telling me, like, you have trusted me and this is what I have for you.
Yeah.
Cool. And so right after that service, they had signups for the trip. I did not have the money to go. I was not working at the time. I was a stay-at-home mom, and my husband was a road deputy,
yeah.
Which does not make a lot of money. And so he was like, I don't really know how you're going to do that. And I told him that I was going to trust God to make a way because I knew I was supposed to be here.
Wow.
So fast forward like 2 weeks, I was brainstorming how to make money. And Daryl called me and he said, do you really want to go on this trip?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I do. And he said, will someone paid your way?
Wow.
And so I came on the trip. Yeah. And it was just confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. I really fell in love with Honduras and its people.
Yeah.
And so, like, I knew I had to be here. The other side of it is the fact that I work in women's health and providing health for women and their babies, the care they deserve that so many don't get all over the world, not just here, is my passion in life. My goal in life is to help women and to give them the care they need, whether it's well woman care, pregnancy care, it doesn't matter. I just want women to have the care they need.
Awesome.
So that's where the maternity home part kind of came in for me. So I was able to come on the trip and it was so fun. I loved it. It has scared me from doing missions with anybody but y'all. I'm so scared. Nobody is as cool as you guys.
They're not. They're not as cool as us.
There's no
mission. Their mission work might be great, but they won't be as cool as us.
No way.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way that anybody is as cool as
y'all.
Yes. We actually were just saying that, like how we're
the most humble.
Love how humble y'all are.
Oh, we're out of concern.
Yeah, y'all are. No, well, y'all are just so down to earth. Like, a lot of times I feel like people get so caught up with...
Real.
Yes, people get so caught up with the ministry and being perfect.
Yeah.
And they forget that, like, Jesus wasn't... He flipped tables. Okay, like, they forget that part of it, and they just feel like they have to be completely perfect, and they forget that nobody's perfect.
Right.
And so being with you guys and being able to laugh and joke and cut up, like, my love language, other than gifts, is picking on people. Like, the more I pick on you, the more I like you.
Exactly.
And so it's just really good to be able to be myself with you guys.
That's awesome.
And with that, the kind of, like, bringing my whole entire life full circle, and the fact that Honduras has literally changed my life.
Yeah.
Before the last trip, me and my husband had two kids, and we were trying to have our third. We tried to get pregnant. We lost three babies in the process. And a few weeks before I came on that first trip, we had decided we were not going to try anymore. Like, we just are not meant to have any more kids.
Yeah.
And on that trip, I prayed for another team member that lives here in Honduras, and I really felt like God healed me, and he did, because when I got home, I got pregnant, and so now I have my third little boy, and every time I look at him, I actually think about the lady that I prayed for every single day. So being able to come back has been amazing, because the first time I came here, the maternity home was literally a stack of bricks.
Yeah.
And so being able to
see
it.
We have the pictures to prove it.
Yeah, for real. Being able to see it and to be able to speak to the moms that have been able to stay there has just been so amazing. I was able to tell that team member my testimony that she had a massive part in. And so I'm glad I was able to tell her in person. It's been great.
It's awesome.
Good to be here with you guys. Y'all made me feel emotions.
Oh my gosh. For the first time ever.
For the first time ever.
That's a way of doing that.
Yeah. I had like misty eyes.
Yeah, Danielle never cried before.
Yeah. I'm not a crier. And y'all, whenever the moms were like telling their stories, like yesterday, all my days are going together.
Yeah.
When they were telling their stories, I told Kendra, I was like, my throat got kind of tingly. And my eyes were misty. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yes.
Why am I having all these feelings?
Right.
But it really is so, just so amazing what you guys do.
Thank you so much.
And I am glad and so thankful I was able to come back, and I will return.
We are very glad that you came back.
Yes.
Very, very glad, and we want you to come back again.
I will.
Just to interject, Daryl is your another pastor at your church.
Correct.
So anyone listening, that may or may not matter to you, but that's just for context. That's another pastor at her church.
Well, and
who is also on this trip.
Yeah, he's also here.
Yes.
We are very excited when we heard that testimony. I think that was the first time we had heard that, I guess, when you shared it just the other day.
Yeah.
And it was pretty impactful, because from the beginning, we always knew that the maternity home would be that. It would be a place of miracles. It would be a place of transformation. It would be a place of confirmation. It would be a place that peace and joy. And there's tragedies, you know, there's things that, you know, a lot of the women, like you just described too, has have experienced loss, have experienced the heartbreak of that. I know that you guys got to spend a lot of time in the ICU there, and so maybe you guys can share a little bit about that impact and maybe just what you guys got to do there, because I know that we talk a lot about the joy and the miracles, and of course there's been many. We've had now over 2,000 moms and their newborns, at least in our care, from 2 days to 20 days. You know, I think one of them was there over a month.
Oh, yeah. We've had some close to 2 months.
Yeah, and so every story is different. Every person's unique. But we knew that this place would be a place that could hold it all. You know, the good and the bad and the sad and the triumphant.
Yeah.
Kind of all happens at that same place. Mm-hmm. And you guys got a firsthand view of, I think, 4 or 5 newborns. Within this week, I think, right?
That was like
eight newborns. So that's cool. So if you guys would share a little bit about that experience and kind of what you guys got to see there, because I think a lot of people just don't know really the gravity and the fullness of what happens here.
So my name's Kendra. This is my first time in Honduras, and it will not be my last. And being able to go into the NICU and just see the conditions that these folks are working in, how they're treating the babies. Every single one of those nurses, they are just phenomenal at what they do. They are super skilled. They're super resourceful, extremely innovative. If they need something and they don't have it, they make it.
Right. Awesome.
And, you know, just to see how they work and how much they care about their babies and even the families, the moms and dads that were coming in and out to see their babies, they would always explain to them, you know, this is what's happening with your baby, this is what we're doing now. And, you know, and there was a little emergency that we got to see, and the little pediatrician doctor jumped right on it. Everybody was calm. It was a great, had a good outcome too, because the baby was okay. But it was just great to see people really just moving in their element.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for me personally, I'm a labor and delivery nurse by trade. And just to see, you know, how these other nurses in another part of the world, how they work, it was amazing.
Right. It's awesome. And I think one of the things to me that I think you kind of touched on, but how innovative they actually have to
so
be.
So innovative.
So, you know, we don't have to go too deep into that, but the idea of, you know, being able to be in a position to care for these babies in a very well-resourced hospital is one thing. To do the job that they have to do day in and day out in a place where not every resource is always available and a lot are just sort of absent all the time, to me, I think that's what's always struck me as well. Because it's one thing to have compassion, but when you don't have the tools that you need, it's really kind of sometimes can be discouraging.
Yeah.
But every time we've seen those nurses, anytime we're able to talk with them or get a report from them, just the amount of innovation, the amount of strategy that they use, the amount of, you know, the way in which they're using resources and just sort of making things happen, has always been encouraging to me. And, you know, it's exciting to see that. We got to do other projects this week, so I wanted to talk through that because obviously not everybody gets to go on a mission trip like this, and certainly as we've already established, nobody gets to go with cool people like us. And so one of the cool things that we did was to pour some concrete floors. We do that because concrete floors, especially in a developing nation, help basically eliminate the percentages of you know, any kind of sickness, any kind of things that are usually associated with living in the elements. Concrete floors can be sealed, they can be cleaned, they can help finish a room and actually get people sleeping, you know, in a little bit more sanitary situation. And so anywhere that we've done that, we've been able to immediately improve the quality of life of someone's, you know, their standard of living.
Yeah.
And so we did two. We were able to finance 3 of them, you know, put the resources toward 3 of them. I think we ended up finishing 2, completing 2, basically. But let's talk a little bit about that. I know that that's a difficult job. There's some things that we laughed about because we're mixing concrete on the ground. We don't, you know, we don't have fancy equipment, but we did get it done.
Well, thankfully there was professionals with us that knew exactly what they were doing, and they just directed us. The concrete floors, people get confused about that sometimes, like, wait, what is that about? And it's like, well, what kind of floor do you live on?
Right.
And if you have too many questions about why that's important, Google it.
Yeah.
You know, like, how would you like living on a dirt floor?
Yeah.
And sometimes there's like a notion that people in other places are just used to living a certain way, so they don't know the difference, and that's really not true.
Stereotypical.
Yeah, very stereotypical, and the difference is the infections that you're talking about, and the diseases that can come from that. And
then you have kids missing school, and mama's daddy's not going to work, and losing money, and it all kind of goes in a huge circle.
And then it becomes a whole generational problem,
you
know? So the concrete floors, they're awesome for so many reasons, that being the main one, that it actually literally changes someone's life and gives them, you know, just a little more space, like you're saying, more space, more chance at health, all of those things. And then it's also fun because you get to see like something immediate. You know, so there's, it's like with some of our other projects, you get to see a lot of the positive outcome from it, but some of those stories last longer. You know, it's a little more, you know, walking a journey with someone for a longer period of time and that sort of thing. And there's like, with the concrete floors, there's an immediacy to it, so that's always fun. I think we're all pretty sore.
Yeah.
I think fun is a very strong word.
Yeah, fun is a strong word. Fun is a strong word. Well, you guys were really getting after, especially you, Kendra.
Yeah,
like,
Kendra was a beast.
You were just like,
I just kept thinking,
putting us
to
shame.
Proud.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Can we take the shovel from
I know.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, but that I think that that's been my favorite thing about this team is just your attitudes. Like, you guys have just been all in from the get, and that's with manual labor. That's with sweating in the sun for hours. That's with eating food that didn't come out the way you ordered it everywhere you go.
Each meal.
Yeah, every meal.
So much sauce.
Hey, we were fed.
Yes, we did eat a lot, so there's plenty of food. But you guys just continue to have a positive attitude about it, and it's like you get the bigger picture, it seems, of like the need is greater than the discomfort.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
The fact of what people are living through here is, it outweighs our discomfort, even though in some moments it feels like, I don't know, it's neck and neck.
Why would we do this?
But ultimately, it's obvious that you guys absolutely get it.
Yeah.
And that you sincerely came to serve, and not with like whatever agenda that you wanted, but like literally what is going to make an impact, what's going to make a difference, how can we serve this ministry, how can we serve these people, what will that look like to them? And that has been really, really incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah. And I also wanted to talk through the experience. We had actually an outreach that we did with the kids, and I know that you guys were very excited to host that outreach, and we sang songs and we danced, and we were voluntold to do certain things. So why don't y'all explain that so that people can get the context for what we did that day? Because I know you were so excited about it, especially Hannah. Maybe she wants to go first.
Well, here's
Hannah
the
wants
thing.
To go first.
Jorge and Javi got up in front of everybody and did the chicken dance all by themselves.
No. That would be hilarious, except we have pictures and video of you doing it.
Yeah, we did. No, it was really great. Like, all of those kids were just so loving.
Yes.
And I have never seen kids so excited for candy in my life.
Never.
No.
And there
sure.
was a chicken dance involved, yes.
Yes.
But they
and Father Abraham.
Father Abraham was there.
Yeah, we did half spiritual.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. But you know what? Sometimes you just gotta have fun.
We had
fun.
Yeah,
exactly.
But no, the kids were amazing. I've never seen kids love piñatas so much in my life.
I know.
It was so cool.
That and the cake and the popcorn and
the
red juice.
The
red
juice. Yeah.
The red Kool-Aid.
All hyped up.
Yeah.
It was great. And just to see, like, even too, for me, the older siblings, like, you could tell the older siblings were really taking care of their younger siblings.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, there were several like 12, 13, 14 year old girls with babies on their hips because that's their little brother, their little sister. And
watching
but they
out
made
for
sure
them.
That they had what they wanted, they had what they needed. And that was so cool to just see them like really stepping up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
For
me.
Sure.
Yeah, that was something that stood out to me in some of our first trips here ever to the country was. how young the kids were that were taking care of the smaller kids.
Yeah.
And like in the village of Kasuna, it really stood out because there was like 5-year-olds taking care of 2-year-olds. Yeah. Like, yeah. It was insane. And you would not see like a parent for
so tiny.
8 hours. Yeah. Like, who do they belong to? But they were absolutely, like, you could tell who was in charge, and, like, you know, so, yeah, that is a phenomenon here, but it's pretty cool that they at least are, like, very community-driven, mm-hmm. they're like, all right, this is what we're doing, and I'm in charge, like, so, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and to me, I think it's, what's nice about it is that, like you're saying, like, they're so into it,
yeah.
they're very joyful, and this is a weekly thing, like, so this is, we're supporting pastors here that are doing this outreach every Saturday. So this is not just a one-time deal. This is something where they're reaching into this community, serving them, discipling them, actually getting to know them and spend more time with them on a weekly basis. And so we kind of came in towards the end of a program where they're teaching these kids not only just about who Jesus is and what he's done for them and what he can do for them, but it's more... You know, now them, the children, the kids, these some of these older ones especially, now they're being tasked with actually going and sharing the gospel to their neighbors and to some of the other local communities kind of further down the road, down the where the area that we were at. So that's the nice thing for me is that everything, you know, Connect Global, we are always trying to build pastors and build churches and build community structures that extend beyond our trips. We've never plugged into something that was just a one-and-done thing.
Yeah.
Even the concrete floors, we're supporting the pastors there, the local church in that community, Pastor Allen and Lorena. We've been partnering with them since 2020. And so anything that we can do for them, whether it's concrete floors or we've done the same type of children's outreach in their area, but it's because they're the ones discipling every day. So what we get to do is we get to actually formulate sort of a long-term strategy where we're coming alongside them and actually just accompanying them on their journey, what they're doing and some of their strategy, because we've never wanted to quote unquote like recreate the wheel. They're already doing a lot of the structural things. We just need to kind of come alongside them and help them, and it's not even about helping them, it's about literally serving next to them. So I want to be clear about that. It's, you know, we're literally just trying to serve them as they serve their community. And so that's kind of nice because like in the next 2 weeks those same kids that we're describing, you know, slugging at the pinata and taking care of their young kids on their hips and doing all these different things, they're now going to be the ones going and doing that type of same reach, you know, outreach in some other, you know, maybe more underserved communities. So it's always nice to know that, you know, there's a longer term effect. Because I think sometimes, too, some people have the misconception that a week-long mission trip is just sort of a vacation. It was not a vacation.
Not at all.
Not a vacation.
They can confirm it was not nearly exciting as a vacation.
We still had fun.
Yes.
It was still fun,
But you can also know that it's not just over. You know, as we fly back home and we go back to our communities.
The maternity home is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yes. There's ministry going on. Our partners are what we call our strategic partners. The pastors like Pastor Miguel, Pastor Allen, Pastor Lorena, Jorge, Yaneth, our, you know, maternity home team. Those are the people that we're championing every day, that we're tasking with continuing to do the job that they've been called to do. And so that's the cool thing, too, is that these mission trips are not over when we get to go home. They continue going, and we just continue to be a support. The impact is not over. We get to you know, keep it going. And the next time Kendra and Hannah and anyone that's listening comes with us, you get to jump back in. It's almost like a river that's continuing to flow. Every time we dip in, we're very impactful. We get a lot to, you know, we're making a big difference. We're injecting an amount of just fortitude and strength and keeping people's batteries full and just keeping them going. And then when we come back home, we, you know, resource and we network and we get people excited about it and we bring another group back. And then you're jumping into the same river that's continuing flowing, continuing to give life, continuing to move, you know, people towards their destiny, towards their purpose. So that's great. You guys have done an amazing job. We've appreciated every laugh and every joke. And, you know, even though, you know, certain things always change or the schedule changes, the flexibility that you guys offered was amazing and just helps us keep going. So we really appreciate that. So If you would like to find out information about coming on a trip with us to Honduras or to, you know, any of the outreaches that we do anywhere around the world, you can find out more about that on our website, connectglobal.org. And we will see in the show notes, you'll have a couple of links to some information about traveling with us and seeing when the next trips are coming up. But we really appreciate you listening in. We appreciate those of you who support Connect Global and the work that we do, because without you, none of this would be possible. So we really appreciate you listening in and tuning in. And so for now, I'm Javier.
And Danielle.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Hannah.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next Tuesday.
I should have said Hannah.